This season may be full of noise, activity, and pressure, but today we're going to discover how a heart of gratitude can open the door to God's presence and fill our lives with joy, peace, and strength. Imagine walking into a home during the holidays where everything is perfect. The table is set, the decorations are flawless, but the hosts are stressed, distracted, and ungrateful. No matter how beautiful the scene, the joy is missing. In the same way, we can fill our lives with activities and busyness, but if our hearts are not thankful to God, we miss the true presence and blessing He desires to give us. We may be busy doing things, but don't forget the great God who has made all things possible. Psalm 100 meets us right at our time of need, reminding us to pull away from distractions and recenter our hearts on the Lord. Our text today is a reminder to give thanks. Although this psalm is short, it is powerful in this day and time. This psalm reminds us that gratitude is not seasonal, emotional, or circumstantial. It is spiritual. Gratitude is not optional for the believer. It is a commandment. It's cultivated and it is connected with our worship. The book of Psalms is the introduction to the poetical books of the Bible and is filled with poetry, prayer, songs of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Scripture from the psalm is used both in private and public worship, shaping the lives of God's people. Psalm 100 is a joyful invitation, reminding us to praise the Lord, and known as a psalm of thanksgiving. It is not only a psalm of praise, but a call for all the earth to worship Jehovah. This extends beyond Israel to all people. This call is for all nations to unite in praise and gratitude for the Lord. It is a reminder to the believer that gratitude is not optional, but it's a command. We learn that gratitude is the door to the path to get into God's presence, drawing us near to Him. We know that God is everywhere, but Him being here and feeling His presence, that's two different things. The Targum calls Psalm 100 a hymn for the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In the New Testament, Gentiles who converted to the way or faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ were encouraged to praise the Messiah, to serve and worship Him, considering His goodness, mercy, truth, and His faithfulness. This is an invitation for every nation, every culture, every generation to praise the one true God. Gratitude is the doorway into God's presence. Thanksgiving is the pathway to worship. In the opening verse of Psalm 100, God is exalted as a creator, the one who made us and calls us His very own. Yet in the closing lines, the imagery deepens. It's not difficult to glimpse Calvary here, for nowhere else can we find His goodness, His mercy, His faithfulness revealed with such clarity and power than at the cross. Amen. Our first point, joyful. It is easy for us to picture the people of Israel lifting joyful shouts of praise to their God. But the psalmist, he doesn't stop with Israel. He calls all nations of the earth to lift their voices to the Lord. From the beginning, Israel was called to be a light to the Gentiles, a witness to the one true and living God. Today, it's the same for the church. We have been commissioned by Jesus to carry the good news to the ends of the earth. And there is coming a glorious day when people from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue will gather around his throne in joyful worship. This opening command is simple but powerful. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. God is calling all people everywhere to lift their voices in joyful praise. Worship was never meant to be passive, lifeless, or silent. It was meant to be expressive, heartfelt, and alive. Joyful worship is not about performance. It is a response to our King. Throughout Scripture, God's people responded to him with joyful praise. The angels rejoiced at the birth of Jesus. Crowds shouted as he entered into Jerusalem. The disciples rejoiced at his ascension. And one day, the saints of God will celebrate him at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Joyful praise has always marked the presence and the power of God. Joy flows naturally when we recognize who God is and what he has done. We worship him for who he is, our Creator, Lord, Savior, Shepherd, and Redeemer. And we worship him for what he has done. He has saved us through Jesus Christ, adopted us into his family, placed his spirit within us, healed and delivered us, opened up closed doors, and gave us peace in chaos, joy in sorrow, hope in uncertainty. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. When we remember these things, gratitude rises and joy follows. Gratitude becomes even stronger when we remember that our future is secure and that Jesus is coming back for his people. And the psalmist doesn't stop at shouting. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Serving God with gladness is not always easy, especially under the pressures of life. But gladness breaks bondage. It pushes back against the weight of the world, the pressures of the culture, strained relationships, fear, financial stress, and unrealistic expectations. Gladness is not denial. It is deliverance. As we praise him, burdens lift, yokes break, strongholds crumble. Praise changes the atmosphere. Music and singing draws us into God's presence and encourages our faith. Colossians 3 reminds us to let the message of Christ dwell richly among you as we sing with gratitude in our hearts. And whatever we do in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Life is not perfect and it's not always easy. But because God is faithful, we choose to come into his presence with joyful gratitude. We choose to come into his presence with joyful gratitude, even when it's difficult. Joyful worship is our declaration that God is still good. He's still worthy and he is still on the throne. Point two, submissive. The word no in this passage means more than awareness. It speaks of experience, knowledge, acknowledgement. To know the Lord is to recognize his authority and respond in surrender. What we know about God in our hearts, we confess with our lives. True gratitude is not just spoken, it is demonstrated through submission. When the psalmist says he has made us, he is saying more than God created us. God created all people, but here he declares something deeper. The Lord has formed us as his own, shaping a people who belong to him by covenant. We did not define ourselves, but he defines us. The phrase "not we ourselves" is understood as "and we are his." This emphasizes ownership and belonging. We exist because of him. We belong to him. Our identity is not self-made. It is God-given. Scripture often describes God's people as sheep under the care of a shepherd. This verse is a simple but powerful confession of faith. The Lord is God, our creator, redeemer, shepherd, and we are submitted to his care. Sheep that refuse the shepherd's voice wander off into danger. But sheep that follow remain under protection, provision, and guidance. Gratitude fades when we forget who God is and who we are in him. The psalmist reminds us that Yahweh is Elohim, the one true God, creator of heaven and earth. He desires relationship and fellowship with his people. And in gratitude, we acknowledge him as Lord, Savior, and Shepherd. And as his people, we belong to him. He created us with purpose, calls us his own, and he leads us with love. As his sheep, we recognize his voice, and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. When gratitude is rooted in relationship and is expressed through submission, it will not be easily shaken. Even in uncertain times, our identity is secure because we belong to him. Amen? My last point, thankful. The procession of worshipers reaches the gates of the sanctuary, and they burst into praise. Not out of routine, but out of thankfulness. Why? Because the Lord is good. His mercy is steadfast, and his faithfulness never fails. Scripture declares, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And those who have tasted his goodness cannot remain silent. The psalmist reminds us that God's truth is more than words. It is faithfulness. It is the same steadiness that held up Moses' hands. The same trust that Abraham placed in God when he believed the promise. From generation to generation, the Lord proves himself reliable. When one generation gives thanks, the next generation learns that God can be trusted. This is why gratitude is a daily choice. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. In biblical times, worshipers physically entered the temple. Today, through Christ, we have direct access to God's presence. And thanksgiving is still the posture that draws us near. Gratitude moves us into action. It lifts our voices and raises our hands and causes us to praise, even when it costs us something. Thankfulness is not seasonal. It is spiritual. It is not based on economy, the government, or the circumstances in our homes. Gratitude is grounded in trust. When life feels uncertain, we trust the Lord with all of our hearts. When responsibilities feel heavy, his grace is sufficient. When seasons bring loss or hardship, we remember that the righteous are never forsaken. Scripture tells us that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Not for everything, but in everything. Our gratitude is rooted in God's character. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. His goodness does not fluctuate with circumstances. His mercy does not run out, and his faithfulness does not fail. The NIV says his love endures forever. The Hebrew word is hasid, covenant love that is loyal, unfailing, and unwavering. It is the love that sustained Israel, restored David, redeemed Ruth, and sent Jesus to the cross. It is the love that does not let go. So how can we not give thanks? Our gratitude is not anchored in what we are facing. It is anchored in who God is. And because he is good, faithful, loving, we choose to be thankful. When we are controlled by the Holy Spirit and guided by the word of God, that sword they just sung about, it shows in the way we worship. Our lives and our praise are not imitations of the world, but expressions of hearts fully surrendered to him. We become joyful in the Lord, submissive to his will, and thankful in all circumstances. And the world will notice a difference. A spiritual gratitude is powerful. A spirit of gratitude is powerful. It helps us overcome struggles like complaining, pride, ingratitude, idolatry. In fact, unthankfulness was at the root of humanity's first sin. When Adam and Eve refused to be grateful for what God had provided, they believed Satan's lie that God was withholding good from them. The act of ingratitude led to disobedience, bringing sin and judgment into the world. Gratitude is not just a polite habit, thank you. It is a triumph spiritual stance. A thankful heart acknowledges God's goodness, resists the enemy's lies, and aligns with the Spirit's work in our lives. True thankfulness opens the door to victory, joy, and a deeper intimacy with God. Thanksgiving may be behind us on the calendar, but every day is a day to be thankful. Gratitude is a daily lifestyle. In the middle of holiday activities and preparations, focus on what truly matters. Give thanks to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our help in trouble, our GPS when we're lost, the shoulder we cry on, our comfort in pain, our peace in chaos, and our strength when we are weak. Even in a world full of chaos, we can still give thanks. Sometimes gratitude is strengthened when we sing. Songs lift our hearts, even when life feels heavy. That is why the song that was sang earlier still touches hearts today. It echoes the very heart of Psalm 100. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he has given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us, give thanks. No matter what is going on during this season and every day of our life, enter in with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving leads us into his gates. Praise into his courts. Worship into his presence. And I am done. Deacons. Y'all can come on. As we prepare to close, I want to invite you into a moment that reflects. Can y'all stand, please? I'm sorry. That reflects the heart of Psalm 100. We have talked about entering his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We talked about his goodness, his mercy, and his unfailing love. But none of this means anything if you're standing outside the gate. Today, the Lord is inviting you in, not just in a moment of worship, but into relationship with him. The same God whose mercy is everlasting. The same God whose truth endures to all generations. The same God who made you, loves you, and calls you his own is calling you now. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. If you hear his voice tugging at your heart, don't ignore it. Today is the day. Respond, right now is the time. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you're far from him, And gratitude has been replaced with worry, stress, and heaviness. Come to Jesus today. He will accept you just as you are. Whoever you are, the gate is open. The Spirit is calling. His arms are stretched towards you. If you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to come now.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's Word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay Arena, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.